weekend all. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the March 28th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. With only a few days left in Women's History Month, let's go to Kampala, where Ugandan lady golfer Martha Babirye is urging parents to motivate and encourage their daughters through sports. Martha has won multiple golf tournaments, but before hitting the links, she also played cricket and rugby. In an interview with Magume Davis Rakowinge, Martha talked about her sporty background.
I like sports. I used to be all sports. Then one day I just woke up and said, why can't I try golf? Since it's an individual sport. So I just wanted something whereby I can control and put my time in than the teamwork thing, because I didn't find teamwork really very interesting. So I decided to join golf.
I've heard people say that everything you touch basically turns into gold, because you've been winning most of the tournaments that you've attended, if not all. The Tusker Malt Open, the Uganda Golf Club Ladies Open, and many others. And recently you won the Entebbe Ladies Open. Talk to us about your magic.
My magic? Actually, it's all about hard work, and sometimes you just accept and say, this time I can't win it. Like, so we have those bad days in life. You have the down, up and down. So it's all about being patient with yourself. You just can't force to win everything. So when you're in the right time, everything flows. Yeah.
But you've been winning almost everything.
Yeah, because I just think I'm just talented. Everybody tells me you're just your natural talent, and yeah.
And who inspires you to play golf, say locally or internationally?
Locally, I would say Flavia Namakula. Internationally, I think all the ladies playing on the PGA, because getting that card out there is really hard work. They are very good.
It's been said that golf is a rich man's game, and someone would say rightly so, because of the equipment, the course itself. To get a place to play from is also not easy. Would you agree with this, or why not? Would you not?
Now, what I can say is, yes, it is true, depending on where you start from. So if you come and you get somebody who has been in an industry, they always try to give you options. So people just come and, you know, they start from up, whereby they don't want to find out how to start, depending on your pocket. So some people just want to come and say, I want to join Kampala, where it's a 5 million membership. Yet other clubs, it's 800, what? So you start from down there, because most of us started from there, and then we advanced to here. And then if you're not talented, you always get people to support you. So for my case, I can tell you I've never bought a golf club in my life with my money. Somebody will say, Martha, I have a second-hand club. I used it. Here, have it. So somebody will support your talent. Some people will support you naturally. Say, she's a good golfer. Let's support her in this and this. So if you're lucky.
So you'd say basically like a bigger percentage, it's more about talent, not because someone is rich. Not because even some rich people may not manage to be successful in golf. Well, someone who is underprivileged economically is successful.
Actually, what I can say, the rich ones who can afford it are normally busy. So somebody will say, instead of me, who has, you know, like, it's like they see you when you have time, and, you know, they always have. Actually, me, I joined golf to just get opportunities to see if I can go back to school, if, you know, and then as I think I've really made, in the 7 years I played golf, I think I'm really happy. I'm willing to go back to school and do something else, which I didn't want to do before. Yeah, so, yeah.
What would you say is your immediate plan? Are you planning, you've been playing as an amateur golfer, are you planning to say you want to become a pro? If yes, when?
Actually, at the moment, I don't think I want to turn pro, because pros in this country are not earning good money, because the sponsorship is too, the money the pros are earning is not worth it. It doesn't encourage us who want to turn. So I better be an amateur whereby I'm supported by many people because I'm a good amateur, than going and be a pro whereby you're going to be a bad pro, you perform poorly because you're not supported. Everybody will say, you did a wrong decision where you went. You would have stayed as an amateur, because there's no money, you know, and that's the truth. But I'm trying to see if I can move to Canada and teach golf and earn something, so I can invest back in my life than turning pro in Uganda.
Before you travel to Canada or for greener pastures or US or in other country, there are few ladies like you in Uganda who are playing golf. What do you think should be done to encourage them to come and play the game of golf?
I think they should reduce, the union should help them with membership, because membership is expensive. It's 2 million. You find people who are working and they're also...
2 million, that is about $700.
Yes, $700. But the good thing with the membership here, you're allowed to pay in installments. You can pay in quarters, 500, 500, 500. But for us, the young ones who are really, you know, because you see Martha has played golf, good golf for years, but she can't afford to pay membership, you know. So I think the ladies' union should at least say... Let us at least reduce for the ladies who have been all lower handicap. If you handicap 5 and below, we support you with this. We pay half of your membership, then you know, yeah, some people will chip in for you. So I think membership is the only problem we are facing, because if you're here, you always get people to support you around. Yeah, like you see now the juniors are there, they are playing, but see them. They are carrying their own bags, you know, and it's really tough. See them.
As you commemorate International Women's Month, what do you think can be the role of sports, not only golf, but also golf inclusive, in promotion or promotion of women emancipation in the country or all over the world, or in Africa, where usually girls or women are meant to be in the kitchen and the farm, but not to come out in the limelight?
Actually, I won't start with the sport, but I wanted to start with the parents of these kids. When you put, you raise your girl child in with a positive way, that you're not supposed to be in the kitchen, you have to have futures, because these days men don't want to just marry and take you home. No, you have to have like some successful career like you've done, you know. So, but with sport, parents, it starts with you, a parent, to motivate your kid to fight for her, for what she wants. So you encourage her through sport. Then in sport, it will keep her away from early marriage, early pregnancy, because she will have a dream. She will have like, I want to be this, I want to be like Martha, I want to be like Flavia. For a girl child, it is a very good place to be. Yes, it keeps you away from a lot of things, drugs, what.
If not golf, you said you are multi-talented in sports. Yeah. If it is not golf, which other game do you think you'd be playing? And do you think you'd be having this success that you've had like it is in golf?
All the sports I used to do before, it was teamwork things. They were like, I did cricket, I was a very good cricketer. I did rugby, I was a very good rugby player, very good. But the thing is...
Your structure, you're not big-bodied that someone would think...
Yeah, but Uganda's number one in rugby, she's a 45 kg. The Samia, she's Samia, the one who's... She's 45 kg, I'm even, you know, but she has been successful. She has won Whisper Awards more than 3 times. So it's not all about the weight, it's all about your talent and how you use your brain. Yeah, it's normal, a mental game. Sports is a mental game, even in rugby. I would have still looked for something of an individual, because an individual, you know what you want. But this teamwork thing, like in rugby, we used to work so hard, and then you find somebody's pregnant, and then you have to look for another person to replace. It's like, it's crazy, you know? But if you're you know, you work on yourself, you work on your mental, you know, when you're not going to drink, you know? But the teamwork thing is normally hard. Eh?
So you'd choose any sport that you can?
I think I'll choose cricket.
Cricket. Cricket is still a team sport.
Yeah, but you hit that ball as you, because it's you against the field. So it's a better sport than rugby.
We already talked about what can be done to ladies, to young girls out there. The message you gave us was to the parents. And the guardians, those people who take care of them. But what should be your message, the last final message to a young girl there who is listening to Martha Babidi talk on Voice of America, Sunny Side of Sports? What's your message to her?
The message is that you should follow what your heart tells you. You should always start early. You shouldn't listen to people that you can't do it. You always have to be you against the world, because it's tough out there. It is really tough. So you have to know what you want and you follow your... It's not bad to fail. People fail. It's so normal. It's normal, but at the end of it, you get it on the right track. So you just have to be you, no matter what people tell you. Negativity, people have a lot of negativity. I've faced it, but that's not part of me.
No matter what, you have to keep trying, and you'll be successful.
Yes.
Thanks very much for talking to me. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you so much.
That's Ugandan lady golfer Martha Babirye. And Martha spoke with Magume Davis Rakawinge in Kampala, Uganda.
Hello, listeners. My name is Babirye Martha, a Ugandan lady golfer. I've won multiple tournaments in Uganda. In the 7 years I've been playing golf, I've won Whisper Awards as the best lady golfer and one of the youngest on the national team. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sport on the Voice of America. Thank you.
Thank you, Martha. And thanks also to Megumi for that Women's History Month interview.
March is Women's History Month, and there's no better time to celebrate the accomplishments of women. Tell us about the woman that left positive marks in your life. You can call us 24/7 on WhatsApp and leave a message. Dial the international code +1, then 202-258-3076. VOA is always happy to hear your voice. Dial the international code +1, then 202-258-3076.
In basketball news, NBA Africa on Monday hosted the first all-girls junior NBA clinic in Ghana. The event tipped off in the capital, Accra, and it was held in conjunction with U.S. Vice President Kamala Harris's visit to Ghana. Joining us now from Accra with more details is Yao Afusu-Larbi. Sporty greetings, Yao!
Sporty greetings, Sonny. The visits of the Vice President of the United States to Ghana coincided with a junior NBA clinic organized by the Basketball Africa League, the WNBA, and the NBA. The clinic was set up to give young girls the opportunity to sharpen their basketball skills and strengthen the representation of women in the sports. In all, there were about 70 girls who participated in the camp. The second gentleman of the United States, Douglas Emboff, was the main guest of the event, engaging in drills with the young girls. He stated that gender discrimination should not be tolerated and women should be encouraged to engage in sports like basketball.
We know that when we lift up young girls and women in sports, we bolster their confidence, we bolster self-esteem, and sports provides courage that you'll need to take on the challenges of this world and to have that belief in yourself that you can do anything. You can do anything that you set your mind to. So I want every young girl out there to know this. We believe in you. You can do anything you want in this world. And you can get out there, whether it's on a court, whether it's on a field, and you can play the game just like anyone else. You can do it. So I want you to think about it right here. Imagine yourself as a future Olympian. Imagine yourself one day leading a team to a national championship. Or maybe you'll be a sports broadcaster. Who knows? You can do it if you set your mind to it.
CEO of Basketball Africa, Victor Williams, Ghana's Minister of Youth and Sports, Mustafa Yusuf, 2003 WNBA champion Astu Ndiaye Diatta, and film director Spike Lee were all in attendance. Victor Williams highlighted the increased focus in providing equitable opportunities for both genders to compete in the WNBA and the NBA.
We believe that every young person in Africa has the potential to reach, to fulfill their talents in basketball. And so what we want to do, and part of our strategy, is to make that opportunity as widely accessible as possible. We're very focused on making it accessible to girls, and that's why we're hosting this clinic, an all-girls junior NBA clinic in Ghana. And we believe that through partnership with the ministry and with other stakeholders to grow the game in schools, to grow it at the grassroots level, to support with infrastructure and equipment, that will lay the foundation for Ghanaian players to more regularly make it into the NBA, make it to the WNBA, for Ghanaian team to qualify for the BAL, and for Ghana to be represented in the top basketball competitions around the world.
Ghana has never competed at any international basketball tournament, largely due to a lack of infrastructure and not enough technical men to teach the game. Ghana's Sports Minister Mustafa Yusuf noted the need to strengthen the development of basketball at the grassroots level.
You know, government have shown commitment in ensuring that we invest heavily in all sports, not only basketball. For government, our scope is very widely. So I will urge that any time that there is such opportunity, they come to the ministry. Once the ministry is not aware about this, it becomes very difficult. But government will ensure that we give equitable distribution of our resources to all sports, including basketball. And that is why His Excellency is investing in getting a basketball infrastructure at Bottiman. As you know, we are organizing the next African Games. And one of the facilities that we are developing is the multipurpose hall that can host any international basketball tournament in the world.
As to Ndiaye Diatta, who won the WNBA title in 2003, was pleased with the initiative for females and hopes that this continues for years to come.
To be brief, it will be hope, because you're dealing hope to these ladies. We were dealt hope to get to this level. So just the fact that we are in this month and it's just them, just ladies, trying to get inspired, which is very important, but also to know that anything they want to do, they can do. I'm an example of it. And I was in the same benches as them, with the same probably coaches. They were just Senegalese, but just chasing the same dreams. So if honestly, personally, I can do it, any of them could do it. That's the thing. But also the fact that we're talking education and sports. So it's very important that they know that both need to go together. And the fact that the NBA is holding, NBA Africa is holding this in Ghana here, is not random. It has, some of it is building on past camp that the Pops, Mamsa Bonsu, and the other NBA player have done. And it's great, the momentum that the NBA Africa is having right now.
It was an inspiring basketball day in the heart of Accra. For the many girls who participated in the camp, they will live with the memory and the skills they learnt for years. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Yao Fusilabi in Accra.
Thanks, Yao. Still with women's basketball, here in the USA, the field is now set for the Final Four in the National Collegiate Athletic Association Championship Tournament. Louisiana State University, better known as LSU, will play Virginia Tech in one semifinal on Friday night in Dallas, Texas. In the other semifinal, unbeaten South Carolina, the defending national women's champion in basketball, will play Iowa in Dallas. On Monday night, South Carolina eliminated Maryland, as we hear now from the AP's Josh Roundtree.
Unbeaten South Carolina advanced to its third straight Final Four. Aaliyah Boston scored 22 points, and Zaya Cook had 18 to lead her team back from a six-point first-half deficit.
I think we just had to start attacking them the same way they were attacking us. Coach kept telling us we see how they're playing, so we got to make sure we're doing the same thing. But they definitely were getting downhill on us, and we just wanted to make sure we did the same thing, made layups, and just became great defenders.
The Gamecocks next play Iowa in Friday's national semifinal. Diamond Miller scored 24 for Maryland in the loss. Josh Roundtree.
Thanks, Josh. In the northwest U.S. city of Seattle, Washington, the Hokies of Virginia Tech advanced to their first Final Four in the U.S. Women's College Basketball Championship Tournament. The AP's Jim Bernard reports from Seattle.
The Virginia Tech Hokies advanced to the Final Four of the NCAA Women's Basketball Tournament for the first time ever with an 84-74 win over the Ohio State Buckeyes. Elizabeth Kitley had 25 points and 12 rebounds as the Hokies won their 15th straight game.
We all come from different places, but this year we came together because we all wanted the same thing. And it's so nice to be at this spot, but we know that we don't want to be down either yet because we have so much fun playing together.
Georgia Amore added 24 points for Virginia Tech and was named the region's most outstanding player. Taylor Mikesell led Ohio State with 25 points, 19 coming in the first half where she hit 5 of her 6 three-point shots. Jim Bernard, Seattle.
Season 3 of the Basketball Africa League is here. Starting off in Dakar from March 11th to March 21st for the Sahara Conference, then heading to Cairo from April 26th to May 6th for the Nile Conference, and the excitement continues to build in the finals in Kigali from May 21st to May 27th. Tune in and follow the BAL on The Voice of America.
Hi, this is Larry London, the host of VOA's Border Crossings, where we feature music and interviews along with your favorite artists from around the world. Tune in and interact live with us here in Washington, D.C.
Hello, Shirin.
Hello, Larry. How are you?
Good. How are you tonight?
Border Crossings comes to you Monday through Friday at 1500 UTC GMT.
Thanks, Larry. That's Larry London, a man who's always ready to cross musical borders. I'm VOA Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. You can follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook, Twitter, and at voaafrica.com. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. My Twitter handle is at VOA Sunny Sports. And if you go to voaafrica.com, you can listen online to the Sunny Side of Sports and other VOA programs. There's also lots of Africa news at voaafrica.com. So check it out. In African men's football, the Super Eagles of Nigeria top Group A in the 2023 Africa Cup of Nations qualifying competition after home and away matches against Guinea-Bissau. Nigeria lost at home 0-1, but then beat Guinea-Bissau on the road 1-0. Nigeria now has 9 points from 4 qualifiers, followed by Guinea-Bissau with 7 points, Sierra Leone with 5 points, and Sao Tome and Principe with 1 point. For reaction to the performance of the Super Eagles, Iron Mike Mbonye spoke with the chief football writer at ACLSports.com, Fisayo Dairo.
In fairness, I think the Super Eagles deserved their win over Guinea-Bissau on Monday. It was a game played in sweltering conditions and, of course, in a pensive manner, because having lost to the Wild Dogs on Friday, the Super Eagles knew quite all right that another defeat to that team might go a long way in hampering their chances of qualifying for next year's Africa Cup of Nations. So I guess they went to the game with a more serious mindset, perhaps the changes that the head coach Jose Peseiro made to the team that played on Friday also ensured that those coming in came with a new vigor and a new resilient spirit. And everything culminated in a rather comfortable win for Nigeria, I must say, because aside the fact that Nigeria scored from the penalty spot, they could have also added to the tally in the second half when Victor Osimhen was denied by the woodwork and then Joe Aribo was denied by the Guinean goalkeeper, you know. So I think it was a deserved win for Nigeria. Not many can argue it wasn't. And Nigeria already learned their lessons from the episode that happened on Friday.
The jitters of Guinea-Bissau shocked the Super Eagles of Nigeria 1-0 in Abuja. What do you think happened in that encounter?
I think it was the beauty of football that we witnessed at the Moshood Abiola Stadium in Abuja on Friday. I think there was a little bit of complacency from the Nigerian lads. They sort of underrated their opponents a little bit. And by the time the Guinea-Bissau side got a goal early in the game became more difficult for the Nigerians. And also, we cannot extricate the fact that the pitch of the Abuja National Stadium is not in the right shape. And perhaps that also had its own bearing on the performance of the players on the day. But by and large, you just go without hailing the Guinea-Bissau side for their spirit, for their cohesion, for their togetherness, which helped them to throw away whatever Nigeria threw at them. So football just happened on Friday. In football, it's not about big names. It's not about image. It's what you bring to the table on the day. And I think the Guinea-Bissau side brought more cohesion, more togetherness, and more determination. And that's why they ran home with 3 points.
Fisayo, with two games to go in the AFCON qualifiers, what are the chances of the Super Eagles of Nigeria?
Monday's win took Nigeria back to the summit of Group A, which means they are just 3 points short of qualification for next January's Africa Cup of Nations. And in actual fact, if they can avoid defeat against the Lyon Stars of Sierra Leone in their next match in June, they will automatically seal a place in that competition. But of course, there are still plenty to play for. I'm sure they must have learned from the episode that played out in Abuja on Friday not to ever underrate any opposition. Of course, the last couple of times Nigeria went to Sierra Leone, Nigeria did not beat them. Nigeria, the last two times Nigeria played against the Lone Stars in qualifying series, both games ended in draws. So it's not as if the Sierra Leone game is going to be easy like it looks on paper. So Nigeria need just a point from that game. If they avoid defeat, they will qualify. But even if they lose that game and then everything will come back to their last home game against against Sao Tome and Principe, a team they defeated 10-0 in Morocco last year.
That's Fisayo Dairo, the chief football writer at ACLSports.com. And Fisayo spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Port Harcourt, Nigeria. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Following the recent round of Africa Cup of Nations qualifiers played across the continent, Morocco and Algeria both officially booked their tickets to next year's tournament in Ivory Coast. The Atlas Lions of Morocco, who made a historic run to the semifinals at the 2022 FIFA World Cup in Qatar, top Group K in Africa Cup of Nations qualifying with the maximum 6 points from two qualifiers. Now, this group has only three teams. Liberia and South Africa are the other teams after Zimbabwe was disqualified. In Group F of Africa Cup of Nations qualifying, the Desert Foxes of Algeria have the maximum 12 points from four qualifiers. Algeria and Morocco join host Ivory Coast, which earned an automatic berth to the Nations Cup as the host country in the 2014 Nations Cup tournament. Finally, Fisayo Dairo mentioned Nigerian striker Victor Osimhen. Osimhen and Senegalese star Sadio Mane are the joint top scorers so far in the Africa Cup of Nations qualifying competition with 5 goals each.
Sporty greetings, this is Victor Osimhen, Super Eagles of Nigeria and Napoli FC forward. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Up the March 28th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
Get it.